What has it been like for you knowing us for the past year and a half? Have you had like any business, or has it been just a bit of a waste of time?
Just generally a fucking nightmare.
Really? Oh, okay.
Hello, welcome back to the Auto Alex podcast, episode 19. That's good.
We're getting on a bit now.
Yeah, we are consistent. Mm. You join me, Rory Mackay. We've got Taylor Hetherington, and we've got Tom Lenthal from Tom Lenthal Limited. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Alex.
Are you excited to be on a podcast?
I am, actually. I've done a couple in the past, but not. This is my first one with you boys. So,
really?
You know, yeah.
Who have you done podcasts with?
My mate Wayne with the JEC, do the JEC podcast.
Oh, okay, very interesting.
Yeah. No one listens to it unless you're in the January, so you wouldn't have heard of it. So, you know.
Fantastic. So we're going to hear some of Tom's stories, because you have lived, not only because you're about 60 and you've got many stories, but because you have lived.
I've done a few things, yeah.
Yeah, you're a racing driver, a motorcycle former racer, instructor.
I've raced, instructed.
Yeah, yeah. And you're an owner of a very established Jaguar Land Rover garage.
To be fair, I don't think I've ever known of a Jaguar Land Rover specialist that isn't established, because it's not like they're short of work.
No, exactly.
We've got one or two cars.
You did pick the right brand to look after.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get into the podcast, a massive hello to James Best, deployed in Estonia in his Challenge 2 tank.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
That is cool. Tank Challenger.
Wait, that's the tank.
Sorry, Challenger, yeah.
That's the tank we went on at the British Motor Show, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it is. The big one.
Yeah. We've also got Lorraine and Malcolm in Barbados. All right.
Is it Ellie's parents?
Is it Ellie's parents?
Yeah.
She is quite posh, so I reckon they've got a few quid, don't they? Are they loaded? They're not like your dad, Rich, though, are
they? No one's like that.
He's funding the channel.
He is funding the channel. We've got Angus Green in his Porsche 930. Taylor.
I'm very jealous.
Taylor saw a picture of it and he liked it.
I nearly fell over.
I like the 930, actually.
Is that the Porsche for you, if you were to go for a Porsche?
Yeah, it is, yeah, but they're just too expensive.
Not for you, Tom. Shut up, Tom.
Are they way too much?
No.
They're actually a bit cheaper.
Then what? How much? How much that?
Oh, you can get a nice one for like 30, 40. Well, 40 onwards.
No.
Not with a turbo.
Not a turbo, no.
Oh, would you go full turbo?
You got to go for it. It's, you know, go big or go home, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So when can we expect one on the Tom Lenthal YouTube channel? That would be funny if you start doing poor stuff, wouldn't it?
That ain't going to happen.
We've also got Dylan Marsh in Exeter fitting doors in the wonkiest house in the UK. Christopher Vyden on his way home from picking up one of his favourite cars, the Fiat Multipla. I like those as well.
Terrible car.
And finally, we've got Rory's mum, Jackie.
Yeah.
Right, before we discuss what we've all been up to this week.
Tom's... So I just feel like I need to meet Rory's mum now, the way that you
She's
like...
lovely.
Oh, she's lovely. Mm. Yeah. Would you like to meet...
Well, not Jackie. That kind of meat, you know. I'm sure that, you know.
Yeah, Meg would not be happy with
that.
No,
Meg wouldn't understand.
How does that make you feel, that the sentence of Rory's mum, Jackie, and then Tom talking about meat?
Mate.
I want to meet Jackie. Sorry, Jackie. I actually look forward to seeing you again.
She's
We're going to see her at Shedfest, aren't we?
We are, yes. Yeah, she's going to be there. Yeah.
Is she going to have her own stand?
No, this is not happening. You tried to...
She should have her own stand, shouldn't she? She should be like guest of honour.
No, she can come up on stage and hand out an award. Maybe.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. We need to at least get her a T-shirt that says Rory's mum, Jackie on it.
Or you like push a button and then it says what we
say.
Yeah, it's
got a little voice box.
Where would the button be?
On the tit.
It's all right. You can get away saying that. Anyway, before we discuss what we've all been to, sorry, Jackie. Shedfest announcement. So we've obviously got Shedfest, which is happening on May the 4th, be with you, which is also the same day as Star Trek. Triggered.
You're so wrong.
Oh,
honestly.
Yes, finally. Honestly,
you are such a nerd.
No, because you've been sending me text messages about my Millennium Falcon and going on about Star Trek. And I'm like, come on, he's you do push the buttons.
Who's your favourite one? Is it Spock?
Oh, God.
The little green one, isn't it? That's Spock. Or is
Tom,
that Captain...
I have this all the time with these two idiots.
Oh, I'm not
surprised. Don't understand.
What do you mean, two? Don't drag me into this.
You're the same.
I just like cars, to be honest. I just
I'm simple-minded.
I am a little bit geeky on Star Wars.
You are a little bit, yeah.
I do like Star Wars, but
we'll get into that. We'll get into that a little bit. You are fucking old. I can say that now. Oh, my God. I've just had an epiphany. I'm not the oldest fucker here. It's Tom. Tom, you're so fucking old.
I must admit.
How old are you now?
39. I'm genuinely 39.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought you were 40.
Oh, fuck. Really? Did you? Why? Is it because I'm so mature?
It's because you bought a Porsche.
Shut up.
It's just a manor Porsche.
Someone told me the other day that I've had a midlife crisis and I actually have to... A manor Porsche?
The manor Porsche, that's what we call it.
Stop covering your face. God, you're so old.
To be fair.
Am I doing it wrong? Look.
There you go, that's a bit better, isn't it?
Yeah. Soz.
You've got to get your hand
right
around
it,
Tom.
You know how Alex always says that when I smile, I look like a hamster because I close my eyes?
Mm.
I saw Alex smiling today.
Yeah?
Oh my God, he turned 70. Look at the wrinkles around those
they're
eyes.
They're laughter lines, Rory.
I was trying to get some thumbnail pictures. I just kept looking at them going, no, we can't use them. Everyone will think we've got like pensioners like trying to buy and sell cars.
In my defense, I'm very dehydrated today. I've not drunk enough H2O. And I get my face gets quite old. It gets like quite shrivelly.
Is that what it is?
It is.
You do actually, even for your age, you do seem to have more forehead than me, though.
Yeah.
That's a sign of intelligence. Yeah. I'm just so intelligent.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'm not so sure.
Tom, why are you jumping on the bandwagon?
Because it's too easy.
Genuinely, though, I do think that Tom has aged better than you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot better.
I am in the shit.
Because you did look really good for your age until about years ago. A year to 2 years.
Was that the day I met you?
No, it's the day you started working with Rory.
No, I think it's actually the day I met you because you have actually ruined my life.
I'll give you one thing. Since you met me, you have put on a lot of weight. Because I watched a car throttle video of you the other day and you were looking trim.
Oh,
looking
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. We can't talk about this.
Why?
Yeah, people weren't happy.
Why? What happened?
With
my reaction?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I went in hard.
You did?
Yeah. But the thing that people don't realise is when we spend time with each other, we literally try and make each other cry.
Yeah.
The only difference is I tried to make you cry and the cameras happened to be rolling at the time.
Yes.
And people saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and you looked like a right dickhead.
I did, yeah. But it's fine. Because no one likes you and you look like a hamster.
Please sit down.
No. But I'm sorry if you got offended. But Rory, were you offended?
No.
I don't. I couldn't care less anyway.
So, Alex, since I joined Car Throttle, always, like, I don't know why, I always came across as like the little brother.
And of what?
In like
not of me.
No, of everyone. Oh, like, you know, everyone says I have that little brother
you're
persona. Yeah.
You are a target.
Yeah.
Did everyone want to look after you, Rory?
No, they did not. No. So Alex desperately tried to break me while I was in Car Throttle. Oh, and it was one of his pastimes was to try and do it. And he never could because I would just laugh every single time that he would say something.
It's infuriating. It really is infuriating. The power you possess just really pisses me off. Right, anyway, as I was saying, sorry, we got sidetracked there. Shedfest, May the 4th be with you. It's celebration of shitboxes, high mileage heroes, all the rest of it. We are going to be bringing loads of cars, loads of merch and everything, and we would love you guys to buy tickets, come and see us. Last year was a roving success.
Raving success.
And we're going to be doubling capacity, doubling the entertainment. We're going to do a live podcast.
Yep.
There as well. We're going to have loads of entertainment and all the rest of it. The tassels have arrived for Taylor's nipples as well.
Nice.
So, oh, yeah. Fantastic. What about my mankini? Has that turned up?
No, we can't get the size. We have to import that from America.
Okay.
I've got one of those for you, mate. Don't worry. Mm.
Anyway, Shedfest, get your tickets. The link to Shedfest is in my bio. So buy tickets now. Don't be disappointed because last year loads of people were disappointed because you left it too long. Anyway, what have we been up to in the last couple of weeks? Tom, because you are guest of honour, what's been going on in Tom's world?
Well, other than doing lots of work as usual, I very unusually had a...
You
really
need to follow your mouth with the mic.
Sorry, bud.
That's all right, bud. There you go.
I very unusually had a really nice day on Saturday. I did a little bit of work in the morning and then I went and picked the missus up and we went to Guildford and we went shopping and we did a little bit of clothes shopping and we went to a really nice pub.
Yeah.
And then we went for dinner on the way home and it's just so... It was lovely because it's unusual because my kids... who you've met.
Yeah.
I've got an older daughter that's at university, and my younger son, James, has recently passed his driving test, so I no longer need to ferry him around everywhere.
Fantastic.
And we are now free to go and do what we want. So
you living your best lives?
Yeah. It's really cool, actually. Yeah, I have to say, yeah. I was, I was thinking, oh, God, I've got to go bloody shopping around Guildford, which is not my favourite pastime. But actually, we had a really, really nice time because it was relaxed. We didn't have to go, oh, I've got to go back to pick James up from football and stuff like that. So going to Guildford on Saturday was really cool. And then the other Sunday we did, I told you this actually, I went to Windsor Great Park to walk the dog.
Yeah.
And
you've got a dog?
Yeah, Charlie, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Why have you named your dog after cocaine?
Well, it's the only thing he can remember from the 80s.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to name James Charlie.
Oh, that's enough. I wanted to name James Boris, and she wasn't ever known that. This is probably a good thing, given recent prime ministers, etc. I'm in the dog cart. We go to Windsor Great Park. There's a free car park there that we always go to, and then you walk off into the park and take the dog out, right? And they've now put barriers in, and you've got to pay for it, which I thought, oh, okay, fine, fair enough. So I didn't have any, I was driving, so Meg grabbed her credit card out, and you zap it, and it obviously reads your number plate, and then you go. On the way out, you've then got to zap it again for your leaving time.
Yeah.
But between the dog walk, Meg put the credit card in her back pocket and her phone. And then when she's pulling her phone out, anyway, she's lost the credit card Windsor Great Park somewhere. And I've then got a queue of cars behind me. And I'm on the phone, the telecom
SOS
guy.
Button.
Yeah. And then because she'd cancelled her card, it then automatically cancelled my card. Oh. It was a joint card. So he had to let us out for free.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so happy. Oh, fantastic. That is a top tip. If you don't want to pay for parking, just lose your cards and cancel
Lose
everything.
Your card and, they let you out for free. He was a very nice man on the phone. And I was going, I'm getting very stressed now because people are getting angry behind me. And he let us out.
Did you tell him about your dodgy heart?
No, I did not tell him about my dodgy what.
You don't have a dodgy heart, do you?
I'm a dodgy heart.
Yeah, not your ass. That's
no,
Taylor.
No, I just started squeaking a lot and sounded stressed on my voice. And, he just... Before I knew what happened, the barrier gone up.
He took pity on you.
He took pity on me.
This guy doesn't have long left. Let's just let him out.
Even the dog was getting stressed.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Rory, what about you? What have you been up to? What's been going on?
What has been going on? It hasn't been that long since the last one, has
it? No, it was Friday with Ben Collins.
Bought more antique furniture. I'm boring again.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And, well... I can talk about, Big Pete.
Sorry, antique furniture?
Yeah.
Look like brown antique furniture.
Yeah, it's brown.
I showed it to
dark.
Alex, he doesn't like it.
It is so brown, and with antique furniture, you get the spindly little legs.
See, this is why he likes Jaguars as well.
Yeah.
Because I have quite a lot of brown furniture.
Do you?
Brown wooden French
you like
polish.
Brown?
Brown polished furniture. But anyway, sorry, Rory, go on, mate.
But I can talk about Big Pete now that Tom's on the couch. Oh. So, Tom... Big Pete is now a Disco 4.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, a reliable version of Disco 4 as well.
Can you guys show him the...
I've seen it.
Taylor showed me a bit
ago. It looks really good. I cannot wait to get that car,
It looks even better than my Disco 3 / 4 disguise, doesn't it?
Yours was...
Mine was wrapped.
We did find it was wrapped.
It was wrapped.
And it didn't look like it was done that well.
No. I did actually initially thought it was painted really badly.
Yeah.
And then we realised it was a wrap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite impressive to find a wrap, though, that nearly matched the colour of the car.
I think they did. Well, it's black, isn't it? I mean, come on. It's not that difficult, is it?
Yeah, come on, Rory.
I thought they've done the... It the same... Isn't your car, like, grey? Or
It's black.
It's black, Rory.
Oh, okay.
You're right, Rory. Yeah, it's been a long week.
It's because you pull up at the unit, there's so many discos there. They all blend into one, don't they? Yeah.
That is one thing that when you pull over to Tom Lenthal's and you come into his little courtyard, there are so many cars there.
Courtyard, it's huge.
It's massive, but it's just always full of cars, like full. And I mean like 30 odd cars usually in it.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting, which goes to Taylor's thing that if you have a Jaguar business, whatever,
you will always have a lot of work because they break a lot.
They're all just in for routine service.
No they are not.
Routine service, what was it, an XF recently or an X whatever XF The whole engine had to come up for the fourth time, wasn't it? The turbo had exploded again, or the engine had gone, or something.
Oh, which one was that? Oh, that's a bit unfair.
And my XJ does a call.
No, it was shit. It was shit. Well, the 2 liter Ingenium diesels.
Oh, that's
shit. Oh, they're blowy.
Okay, there you go.
That is shit. That's fair enough.
My XJ does a really cool thing as well now, where it just suddenly decides that it turns off all the screens.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind the dash is a screen, and it turns them all off for about a second or two, and then it decides that it wants to then turn off the headlights as well. At the same time. So you're driving along with no headlights for about a second. Then it kicks back in. But then because it doesn't do the auto leveling with the headlights because you're already driving.
Blinded. They stay dipped.
Yeah, they just stay. But dipped is an understatement. They are literally pointing at the ground.
Is it like spotlights on the ground?
Yeah. Like the ground in front of you really lit up really well. But anything else is no. No.
Oh, shit. But it never done that to me, Rory. Honestly.
Tom, we bought this car off Tom, and then Alex bought this car for a present, and then later on, Tom's coming out going, "Oh yeah, no, it's done that a few times." And then I get in here and I drive it, and the brakes are shuddering like I don't even know how you were driving that car. They're still doing it now.
I never had a problem with the brakes,
Tom.
That's because he never brakes anywhere. You drive like your hair's on fire.
You tell me that you're literally cruising up and down the motorway at 70 mile an hour. So, you know, what do you need brakes for?
Because I always go down this massive Birdlip hill near the Cirencester A417 that you always have to hold your brakes while going down because engine braking is not enough. The whole time going down, I'm literally like there going, I hate this.
To be fair, I did say to you that I've got the part that you need, which is a gateway module to fix the flickery screens and the lights going out. So I've got one of those sat there for you, which we're going to put in for you. And I said, if you get some brakes, I'll fit them for you.
Yeah, which is fair.
That was very generous.
That was a few weeks ago, and you've not actioned
it. Yeah, Rory.
We've
been busy. I haven't been able to drop it round.
Such a poor excuse.
You've moaned and then given a poor excuse.
I'll exchange it when I pick up that Range Rover.
You're calling poor Tom out on the podcast when you could have had this fixed.
Also, yeah. Rory... That hill that you said that you break down, is that the hill where you said you parked where the police camera normally parks?
It's just after there,
Rory told me this story the other day. Whenever he commutes here in the morning, he always sees a police camera van. And what was it? One day it was late, did you say?
One day it was late and it always goes in this little lay-by. I've told this on the podcast before.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, and I love to do this thing, Tom, where if I see the van, because... Basically, it's a single carriageway, and I was behind the van, and the van was doing like 40 and a 60. I'm sorry, I've already told this. But yeah, I managed to get in front of the van on the dual carriageway bit, and then just before the little bit where it parks up, I then pulled into this same little bit that it parked up. So he couldn't park there,
brilliant.
And he had to go back.
But he probably drove past you and thought, XJ probably actually broken down. Yeah,
Tom, are you not going to tell us all what happened to your trailer this week?
Oh my god!
Yeah,
yes,
about that.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a.
I'm not having a lot of luck with trailers. What else have you been up to?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so I actually wasn't there. I just got a text message about 8 o'clock in the morning from one of the chaps that works for me, Adam, saying, there's no door left on the back of the trailer because a bin lorry's reversed into it. I was like, what? I get to work, and sure enough, we've got a big, lovely box trailer with a door that tilts right up, and it's on the floor. It's just no longer attached to the trailer. And I'm like, oh, brilliant. Right. Look at the video, and Adam was so lucky because he was offloading a car, and he's underneath the door, and there's this big bin lorry reversing to empty our bin. And Adam has like moved out of the way literally seconds.
I mean, wasn't it by pure chance or did he see what was happening?
No, he didn't see what was happening. It was just pure chance. He was just undoing one of the straps and he just walked round to the side to open the other door when the bin lorry hit the door, broke both hinges off and the whole thing's fallen down. And I mean, that door is heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really heavy. It took three of us to lift it. And so unfortunately, I no longer have a door attached to the back of my trailer, which has been a bit of a bind. But the bin people, I've got to be fair, I'm going to give them a shout out. Rob Collard, they've been around to see me and they've been really good about it and they're sorting it all out and they're top guys.
But Adam did get very lucky because we saw
Super
the footage.
Lucky.
We did.
And
my
first reaction was to laugh. And then I was like, actually, that's quite serious, isn't it?
Yeah. I laughed at first and then I thought.
But if you realise how heavy that door is, I didn't, because like when you lift the door up, it's on like, telescopic, you know, hydraulic Rams.
Yeah.
So you don't really feel the full weight of it. But when it's not on the trailer, I was like stunned how heavy it was. I was like, wow. Yeah. So we were very, very lucky.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah, he would have definitely been. If that had landed on his head, he was going to Annie.
Yeah. Christ. Got very lucky indeed. Anyway, as for me, what have I been doing? Not a lot. Weekend went to see Gareth and Aura Lee with my wife. I still can't say wife. It feels weird. Rianne. And Gareth and I went to Cafe and Machine on Saturday. And it was nice. We just drove there in his Jaguar. What was it?
F-Pace?
F-Pace, yeah. Jaguar F-Pace, parked up, got out, and then just chatted to loads of people. Yeah, it was really nice. Cafe and Machine is a good vibe. And we are actually going to be going this weekend. No, last weekend. We have been last weekend because this podcast comes out next week. So yes. We went for our friend Ed's birthday. Gareth is actually phoning me as we speak, so I'm going to have to hang up.
Well, no, I think you need to answer that.
Oh, okay. Hold on. All right. Okay.
Look, it's becoming a habit to answer things on podcasts.
Oh, hold on. What's...
Oh, you've blown it.
Hello, mate.
Oh, hello, mate. Looks like you are flying an aeroplane.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast. I was actually...
Hello, Gareth. How are you doing? All right.
Come on, mate. You don't have to speak into the microphone when you're talking to me because I can hear you through a phone.
Can you? Brilliant.
But we're podcasting at the moment.
Gareth, you're in the podcast.
You're in the podcast.
Oh, right. Okay. I've booked a track day for us.
Oh, fuck.
Yay.
It's in your calendar. I'll leave you a podcast.
Where are we going and when?
Donington. On the 24th of April.
Oh, I'm still a bit cold.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Come on, Tom. You're a seasoned pro. It's not for you.
I'm a fair weather rider these days, Gareth. You know, I don't do silly things like ride out motorbikes in the winter and then crash them.
I could have died, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I'm very pleased.
But you didn't.
You didn't. Yeah.
There you go. Right. That's very exciting. I'll give you a shout later. What was I saying? I went to Cafe and Machine with Gareth.
Yeah.
And had a good time. And then Sunday, I think I went to the gym. And yeah, that's pretty much me. Oh, sold my 944.
I sold your 944.
Courtesy of Taylor. Yeah. So you took the car recently, and then nice little fella took it. Was it 7.5? Wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It sold really quickly actually, and I feel like it's gone to a good home. He's going to enjoy it. All of his mates have got 924s and 944s and stuff. So it's gone to a nice enthusiast group.
Fantastic. Yeah. So that's very exciting.
A very somber note as well. We didn't update last podcast. Very sad. Very sad.
Are we talking about Rory?
We are talking about Rory.
Oh, okay. So, my house is having a renovation at the moment. Extension, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
so
no.
Rhianna and I live upstairs. Like the whole upstairs is... So my office is the kitchen with all of our kitchen shit. And it's no longer an office. The spare bedroom is our living room, and the bedroom is a bedroom. So we effectively live in a two-bed flat. No, one-bed flat. And we had a new guest arrive. It's this fat little mouse, and he's been mugging us off for the past week or so. And then we went away. Where did we go?
We went to Wales.
We went to Wales.
Your 993.
To film the 993. And Rhianne was sending me videos of this mouse just cruising around, just completely mugging Rhianne off. Like literally just...
What, taunting her?
Taunting her. We had 5 traps in the living room and he would go up to the trap, give it a little sniff and be like, I sense danger. I'm not going to go for it. Mm-hmm. And she's been losing sleep over it and all that. And because it's a really fat, annoying little mouse, she actually named it Rory.
She did?
But it does actually look like Rory.
It does. Yeah, genuinely. Every time that mouse smiled, it closed its eyes. Smile. Smile for me, Rory. There you go. So I got back from Wales and then Rhianne was like, right, we need to do something with this mouse because it's literally, I'm losing sleep. And so Rhianne and I just stood in the living room for about 10 minutes being completely silent, just waiting for Rory just to make a little noise. Sure enough, he made a noise. I tracked Rory down to the corner of the bedroom. And then let's just say that Rory is no more.
I was eating a cheese and ham baguette when I opened that with the group chat, and it looked like there'd been an explosion.
That they had.
It was quite a spectacle.
Was this not humane?
No, this is not something.
No, hold on. It was quick.
I can feel some more complaints.
It was quick.
It was quick. Look, just give me that. It was quick. But Rory is no longer with us.
It was really unfortunate. The bed fell on top of Rory. with great force.
Really?
Yeah, part of a bed frame, and it just somehow, unfortunately, Rory.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
It
is bad. It is bad.
Alex, it was. So it landed on your hand.
We can't show this on YouTube because it's too graphic.
There you go.
Oh, that's not too bad. I'm
It was on his hand.
There was a bit of Rory on my hand. Mm. But it's not the way that I wanted Rory to go. But, you know, we have a mouse infestation, so it had to go.
It was
very, very quick.
It was either that or Maisie was going to chew it apart.
Yeah, so Maisie is very good at catching mice. Mm. My dog, Maisie.
Yeah.
And that takes a while.
So does she bring them? Does she catch them? Obviously, catches them outside or whatever.
Yeah.
But does she then
inside?
Does she then bring them into the house?
Why
to
do you have so much mice? You're in the middle of London.
No, she literally just. I'll know what's going on because she just stands still and then head down, and then she has a little chew, and then I'm like, she's got something. She does it a lot with squirrels.
Yeah. And my dog does it with rabbits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Maisie's never caught a rabbit.
No, she's brought a couple of rabbits home, and once she's got it in her mouth, she's a gun dog, she will not let go.
Oh, really?
And then Meg has to walk her home.
With a rabbit in her mouth?
With a rabbit in her mouth, because she will not let go. And then she's like, right, you've got to come home from work.
Oh, wow.
You know, your neighbours must think you're psychotic.
Not bringing the bloody rabbit in the house. And then I get the luxury job of removing said rabbit and disposing of it.
Yeah. But yeah, the flat, AKA the top half of our house, has been quiet since. Mm. So we have got rid of Rory. I'm very happy. Rian's very happy, but you're fuming, aren't you, Rory?
I am, yeah. He seemed like a really nice guy.
He was quite cute.
Yeah. He was properly mugged Rian off, especially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. Killing mice and selling a car. Well, you selling a car and going to Caffeine and Machine. Mm. Taylor, you've had a bit of a busy one, haven't you?
Yeah, so obviously the last podcast I was in, I had the fire in the unit next door. So I've been doing some cleaning up and trying to make the best of a poor situation.
Because you weren't as unscathed as you thought you were when you were doing that podcast.
No, so since that podcast, I've taken all of the cars out of the unit, and there's a fair bit of damage to the floor and the walls of the unit, and the paintwork of the cars was a bit damaged as well. So I've had to clean all of them about 3 times, and they've all had to be detailed because they've got some clear coat damage to them, which is not ideal.
No.
But they all still exist, and they're all still usable, and they're not burnt to a crisp.
So what happened to the floor?
So the fire came under the wall and over the wall and damaged the floor.
So did it, like, heat damage then bubble?
It's mainly smoke damage. It's almost like tar. It's horrible. Oh, really? Imagine someone being in there and smoking for 50 years. The tar... You know, like nicotine.
I imagine it's all the plastics that were probably being burnt next door. Yeah. It's very, very toxic.
It's
fire, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like a very oily, sticky, tarry, horrible black substance. It's just not very nice. So that's all over the cars, all over the floor. I've had some really, really nice local industrial cleaning specialists come over and assess the unit, and they're going to give the floor a good old crack and
see if we can
get it going.
Cool.
They're fans of the channel as well, so they've been really, really helpful.
What's that? What are their names?
I can't remember because Luke dealt with them,
but
I will find out and I will give them a shout out. But yeah, so hopefully that will all be cleaned up. The walls do need repainting, unfortunately, so that's not something that can just be cleaned off, which is annoying because they were only painted 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was quite expensive. So that one is sorting out. But as I say, it's a bad situation, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
What about all your, you got your logo painted on the wall. Have you got to, like, redo that? Have you got to paint over that and redo that? Is that all right?
I'm going to try and save it. Because it looks like the smoke damage came in just above it. So I think we might be able to save it.
Save that,
It's called patina now.
Yeah, I mean, that did take Robin a hell of a long time to paint that. So I would really, really like to try and save it.
Yeah.
But on a positive note, on Friday, I think I'm getting a brand new ramp.
Oh, nice.
So I'm getting a brand new Twin Bush 2-poster 4.2-ton ramp, hydraulic. Which I've reserved from them. They've given us a nice discount. So we're going to have that, hopefully, get that all installed, and then I can start working on some motors.
And then you can resume tailor-made cars and classics.
Hopefully, yeah.
That's very exciting.
Other than that, I bought Luke a car.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. So Luke has been working with me since late last year now.
Yeah.
And he's been working really hard. We haven't been paying each other very much just because of the whole unit situation and getting sort of set up again and stuff like that. And he's just been grafting. He's put up with a whole load of stress that I've been going through, and he's calmed me down a load of times, and he's just been really, really supportive to literally no end. I don't know what I would have done without him.
He's like your work wife, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And he's not had a car since he sold Nut, which was quite a while ago. So just for reference, Nut was your old BMW X5, yep, which was a 3-litre diesel manual.
Yep.
Which is now with Lewis Freeman.
Which is now with Lewis Freeman. And Nut got to a point where he needed a fair bit of work, and Luke couldn't really afford slash have the time to sort it. So he sold it to Lewis. Since then, he hasn't really had a car. So he's just driven about in whatever I've had in stock, basically. Which is okay, but it is nice to sort of have your own car. And it's a bit frustrating when you have to keep emptying all your stuff out of a car and move on to the next one or whatever. So I've been wanting to get him a decent daily for a while. And then my friend Patch messaged me the other day about an E36 that I had for sale. And he had a really nice facelift BMW X5 six-speed manual that he wanted to part X in a lovely, what's the colour called? Kalahari beige, which is like a goldy beige, but it's got a bluey green pearl.
If Luke were a colour, it would be Kalahari beige, wouldn't it?
It's such a nice colour. It's really, really rare, really nice pearl colour. So, and Luke actually went with Patch when Patch bought it.
Yeah.
And he always said to him, if you ever sell this car, I want first dibs.
Yeah.
And Patch has recently spent $2,000 on it. He fully polybushed it, 4 new tyres, 4-wheel alignment. He's done loads of work to it. And when it came up in conversation that Patch wanted to part exit to me, Luke said, can we do some sort of a deal with it? Like maybe at cost or something like that. And I said, yeah, we'll sort something out. And yeah, when it came to part exiting it, I was like, I'm just going to buy it for him.
Nice.
Like, because I feel like he deserves it.
That's a good thing to do.
So
really
you
hard.
Do this on the QT? Like he didn't know what was going on?
Yeah, he didn't have a clue, yeah. Brilliant. So he actually had a go at me because I went and picked it up as a part X. And when I got it, it was really dirty. So I cleaned it. I cleaned the car? I always clean cars. I love cleaning cars.
He's an average detailer.
Actually,
yeah,
one of my favourite things. But yeah, I cleaned it. I put it in my mate Tony's garage. We put tyre shine on it. We'd done all the trim restoring. And Luke didn't know where I was. And I got back to the unit. He was like, where have you been all day? Like, what have you been doing? Blah, blah. And that was the day that the guy came to look at your 944.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like he was stressing out about that and sorting some other things out. He's like, where have you been all day? Like, and he actually had a go at me. And then we went over to Tony's and I surprised him with it. He was like, oh, I feel really bad.
Oh, what a nice thing to do that.
Yeah. But he 100% deserves it. And he's so happy with it now as well. He absolutely loves it. And it's also a useful tow vehicle if he needs to deliver a car because it's got a factory tow bar on it.
Yeah, so that is nice.
It's
not,
a good,
not just a factory tow bar. It is a color coded factory tow bar as well.
It is.
Is it a Westfalia?
I believe so, yeah.
They're the ones that, they are the bollocks.
They really are really good. So yeah, he's absolutely over the moon.
Oh, nice. Good on you, Taylor.
Yeah, oh, thanks, fella.
Yeah.
Other than that, I bought a car that I was going to sell and now I really don't want to sell it.
What is it?
It is a BMW, of course. A BMW E39 540i manual touring, which I already have.
Yeah.
We know.
Which they're extremely rare anyway.
They're super rare. There's about 13 of them left. I think about six are pre-facelifts.
You clearly need two, don't you, obviously?
Of course you need two, Tom. Yeah.
So why are you holding on to this one? What makes it special?
I bought it to sell it. Yeah. I actually wanted to buy this car ages ago. It went through collecting cars. And I missed it, and it sold for like $6,000 or so, and I was gutted, because that is quite cheap for a 540i manual touring. It's Oxford green with tan leather. It's a pre-facelift early car. Yeah. It's got M parallels on it, really, really nice. It's had loads of stuff done to it, really, really big maintenance file. It's had all the suspension done, new clutch, whatever. I went and bought it off of my friend Jason, and he offered it to me cheap because it needs a timing chain.
Yeah.
Timing chain's rattling because one of the guides are broken. So I went to go and buy it, and he said, I don't know if this is actually legit, but have a look at the chassis number. And I was like, right, okay. I had a look at it, and it finishes in 001. Now, the end numbers dictate the build number of the car. And I did a bit of research, and I spoke to a guy called Darren who runs the 540i owners group, and he said that is the first ever 540i manual touring build.
Holy shit.
The first one.
Wow.
So what are you going to do? You're going to keep that one and sell your other one?
Oh, no, I just want both of them.
You need to sell one of
no,
them.
No, I like both of them.
No, Taylor, you're a businessman now.
I like both of them.
Right, how much is it? Look, it's for sale. Who wants it? How much? How much?
I'm not selling
what
it.
What is the price? If someone said to you, I'll give you 10, would you take it?
No, I like it.
15.
No, I think he would say yes at 10. Like
I need to, at least, exactly, yeah. I need to, what, at 540? Minimum, go to the, fix it and go to the pub in it.
All right,
minimum.
Okay.
And then I'll make a decision.
And then it'll be up for sale on TaylorMade Cars
no,
and Castle.
No. It's Oxford Green. I can't sell
it. It will be for sale colour. In the next month.
Why do you want to buy it?
No, it's fire damaged.
No, it's not. I bought it after the fire.
I know, but you've been in it.
No.
And your gilet, your heated gilet,
I'm so
is probably
hot.
Fire.
That's what it is.
You are so
I'm
hot.
So
yeah.
hot. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that all along.
I'm smoking.
So you're smoking hot. He says while rubbing his thigh.
It's actually my knee.
Okay.
Because I've got rigor mortis in the knees.
Well, for me, that kind of height is my thigh, so that's why I get confused. Anyway, before we continue, a shout out to this week's sponsor, Febby Bilstein, who make OE matching quality parts. And you also get a 3-year guarantee. So if you go to Eurocar Parts, wherever you like to buy parts, then make sure you look out for Febby Bilstein. We've used their parts for, what, 6, 7, 8 months now. We've pretty much rebuilt the whole of Big Pete.
Tom used a lot of their parts.
I do use a lot of their parts, actually, to be fair.
We do get deliveries to you pretty much every other week.
No. We use their products on a lot of Land Rovers and Range Rovers, actually.
Fantastic, yeah. So, massive shout out to Febby Bilstein. And a reminder again, if you go to Eurocar Parts or wherever you buy your car parts, then look out for Febby Bilstein because we rate them, and so does Tom. Anyway, let's move the podcast on. Right, we've got 20 questions, which we'll move on to in a little bit. Before any of that, you remember, was it last week or the week before, we talked about injuries at work or injuries when working on cars.
Yeah.
And then I think we went to see Tom and you actually listened to the podcast, didn't you?
I do occasionally listen to the podcast when I'm driving.
When you're pissed or something. When I'm really bored. Really bored. And you basically said what we were up to in injuring was child's play to you because you've had some injuries.
I'm just professional in comparison.
You are? Okay. So you're a professional self-injurer?
Yeah. I've had a few incidents.
So you did mention a few stories and I just really want you to regale us with those stories because you've seen some shit.
So, it's all happened, isn't it? So, I did tell you a few of them, and I think for me, the worst one that happened to me, which probably wasn't the worst injury I had, but you know, the worst whole scenario, was when I was working in the Jag main dealer, and back then when we were working on X types, we got this new lift, that came out, which is a hydraulic jack on a single pole, and you could take the whole front subframe, engine, gearbox out of an X-Type, and we used to drop them out in one unit. But because it was a single shaft jack, like transmission jack, sometimes it would get stuck. And actually, as we used it more and more, it got worse. And then it would jolt down. It would, you know, wouldn't come down nice and smoothly.
Yours does that, Rory. Mm,
does it?
Yeah.
Oh,
is it Chinesium, yours?
I don't think it's Chinesium. It's budget. Yeah.
So anyway, but this was supposed to be a premium product, which was on the tool list that you buy. You know, Jaguar say, you have to have this piece of equipment. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I was having a bit of a problem getting this engine and gearbox assembly coming down. And I've got my foot on the release. And so it's hydraulically released on, you know, and it's just not coming down. And all of a sudden it's just, I mean, it's dropped like a stone and it's whacked me on the head and it just knocked me clean out.
Shit.
And I don't really know what's going on. Yeah. I'm completely out of it. And then, of course, everyone's come running around and grabbed hold of me. They've taken me into the tea room and they're sort of like, give me first aid or whatever.
Are they just putting a cigarette in your mouth?
Yeah. First aid in those days consisted of...
They just blow smoke in your face.
Yeah, a packet of 20 Bensons and a Stella. Yeah.
they put a little bit of cocaine just in his nostrils. Yeah.
So anyway, the big boss has come down, the general manager's come down, David, and he's gone, right, I've come round and, I'm probably a bit concussed and all the rest of it. Right, you've got to go and see the company doctor. So just over the road, we had the doctor's surgery.
I forgot this bit.
And we had Dr. Narula.
Dr. Narula,
Who I subsequently found out got struck off. But I don't know how he ended up being the company doctor, but he was a company doctor. So And then, so I go down there and he's like, right, okay, Tom, and you come and, you know, just sit down. What's happened? So I've told him what's happened. He's checking. Right. Now, if you'd just like to go behind the curtain and take all your clothes off, we'll give you a thorough check over. And I'm like,
you've hit your head down.
I banged my head, mate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
oh, and he wants to bang your head.
So I think to myself, I'm not overly comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, I'll take my shirt off and up. So I strip down, to the waist. Yeah. Right. Cool with that. Laying down on the bed and he comes along and he checks your heartbeat and, mm-hmm. Your lungs and all this sort of stuff. And he's going, right, I just need to make sure that you, and he starts putting his hands down my trousers and pushing me around the groin area. And I'm like, all right, mate, look, I've heard about you. he's got a rep.
Has he really?
Oh, he had form.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. The company doctor, people were going.
Is that
there
why you knocked yourself out?
Yeah. So anyway, I told him I felt perfectly fine, and if anything else come up, I'll pop down A&E. All right. So I couldn't get. Yeah. So yeah, that was a bad bang on the head and a very very dodgy medical examination afterwards.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I wouldn't want to go there. Wouldn't do that. So yeah, that was probably one of the worst ones. And then I also told you about my mate that. At the back of my house, took his finger off.
Oh,
and the funny thing about that was he didn't take his finger off. So it's to deglove, isn't it? So I'm sat there at the house because we were doing some work in my garden, in the back garage at my house, and he's come walking down the side of the house, and I'm in the kitchen, and he's just showing me his finger, which was just a red lump of bone.
Oh, and, no.
Yeah, so anyway, I've got him in the house, and we sort of like put a little bit of a bandage on it and all the rest of it. And so anyway, I said to Meg, right, take Tony Bananas, he was his name.
Why Tony Bananas?
Because he's Italian, and his name was Antonio Buono.
Oh, okay.
So Tony we Bananas. Could never say that properly, so we just called him Tony Bananas.
He's so rough, isn't he? I love it. I love it.
So anyway, Tony Bananas has had his finger ripped off.
Yeah.
So I said, Meg, right, you need to get into the hospital. So off she goes down to Frimley Park. And so then I then go up to the workshop and I think, right, I really, I can't not try and find his finger because once it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I rooted around the garage and found out where he got taken off of a ball joint, trying to put a bottom ball joint in. I found the finger on the floor. I picked it up. Oh, I went back down to the house, got a bag of frozen peas out, stuck it in a bag of frozen peas and drove it to the hospital and reunited him with his finger.
Happy day. So he
and,
has his
and,
full
and they
finger
actually
now.
Put it back on?
No, they didn't. No. No. Apparently it was too difficult to sew back on, so they just cut the end off. They just cut the bone off.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's got a little stubby finger now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a little stub there, yeah.
Oh, no.
But he's all right. He's quite happy with it. I think his wife likes it.
Jesus Christ.
And the other one, because I know you said you'd done this, but we experienced this as well. We just wanted to tell you is the petrol in the face one.
Oh, shit, petrol in the face.
So that happened to a friend of mine in the workshop. He was draining some fuel out and he rolled over. He was working on the floor and it went in his face. But the funny thing about that was, he was screaming like a little girl in pain. And he was called Alex as well.
Was he?
My mate Alex. So, in those situations, you've got to give first aid. You've got to do it. So I've grabbed hold of him and we filled the sink full of water. Now, if you hadn't have known I was giving him first aid, you would have thought I was trying to drown the man. You've got hold of his head and you're like shoving it in the sink and you're going, right, blink, 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 And then when he comes back at you, think, oh, take a couple of breaths, but no, you're still screaming, right?
Did he give up the secrets you were after?
Yeah. He did in the end, yeah. But it was, that was, so that was very painful for my friend Alex at the time. But,
oh, that is so funny.
But yeah, but it was, when I look back on it, it was quite funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've had all sorts of incidences and things like that over the years. It happens and like you say, as long as you can laugh about it afterwards. I've not had one where I haven't been able to really laugh about it afterwards, touch wood. We've been quite lucky like that. So
happy days. Right, before we move on to 20 questions, and Tom is going to be the taskmaster. So 20 questions are where Tom thinks of a car and we've got to guess that car within 20 questions, and Tom can only answer with yes or no answers. Before that, right, so Tom is a very, very prestigious businessman with a Jaguar Land Rover dealership. And then we rock up and we literally just fuck everything up, don't we?
We do.
And we're like, oh, hi, we need a specialist and we've got this car. Can you do some stuff? And then you kind of at the beginning were a little bit reluctant, but then you were like, actually, no, let's give this a go. I genuinely, because we've never spoken about this, but What has it been like for you knowing us for the past year and a half? Have you had like any business, or has it been a bit of a waste of time?
Just generally a fucking nightmare.
Really? Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to hear. I think that's got to be the hook for the podcast.
That is us in a nutshell. It is,
yeah. That's gonna be on our gravestones, isn't it?
We are genuinely, even off camera, just a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can testify that. How was picking up the boot from the Jaguar E-Type bonnet today? Yeah.
So I was supposed to pick up an E-Type bonnet today to put on my wall in my new unit. And I drove all the way there in my van and it doesn't fit.
And now your van is also broken.
Yeah, my van's broken. So,
but you have sold it.
I have sold it, yeah.
For the same price that I sold it to you?
Yes.
The only difference is that he's probably actually going to pay you.
Right. Oh, but I've paid you.
No, when?
I sent you $7,500 yesterday.
That was for the Porsche.
No.
Jesus Christ.
I only got $3,000 for the Porsche.
You've got another 90 days on the Porsche, haven't you,
Tony? I've got another 90 days.
Not you. Doesn't he owe you money?
I'm trade. Sorry.
You're trade. Trade. God, they stick together, don't they? No, but back to it. Like, I know that you enjoy doing the YouTube stuff, but is it a bit of a waste of a time?
No. So, you, as you know, before I met you guys, I was very lucky to...
Very happy.
Yeah, very happy, yeah. No, we've always been... I've always plugged away at stuff, and this is just a new way of doing things, isn't it? You know, and I was very lucky that before I bumped into you guys, I met, I got introduced to Harry Metcalf, and we did some work with him, and that kind of introduced me to YouTube, and I love Harry's channel. I love doing the stuff that I do with him, but it's a very, very different sort of thing to what you guys do. And when we first got to speak to you, it was Jimmy Jag, wasn't it?
Jimmy Jag,
yeah. So, as we've learned over the, you know, I like a bit of a laugh.
Do you
know what I mean? Yeah. You've got to have a crack, haven't you? You can't take life too seriously. And the things that we've done with you guys, as I've got to know you, it's just because it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, you're genuinely a car enthusiast. You know, you are passionate about cars, which I am obviously super passionate about my cars. And I think that's why work is... you know, successful, because we just generally love it. So the reason that I suppose I've, you know, put up with you, if that's the right way of putting it.
Yeah, that is fair. That's so fair.
Yeah, the reason I've put up with you and, you know, and all that sort of stuff is because it is just good fun.
Good.
You know, and I think it's really important that cars, you know, and what we do is you've got to get the fun out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I always say, even all the guys that work for me, right, when we get a new apprentice in or whatever, you know, I can pretty much, as long as you've got a little bit of aptitude towards it, I can teach anyone how to fix a car. I cannot teach you how to be passionate about cars. You've either got that or you ain't.
Yeah.
And I'd take someone that's tougher to train, that's passionate, than someone that's, you know, clever about it, but actually couldn't give a monkey's.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not interested in that, you know. So it's just been really good fun, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been good.
And we've got trips planned, don't we, Rory?
Yeah, I was going to speak about that. So, we've got the Scotland trip coming up. Mm. And actually, Tom...
Yay!
oh, yeah, dates. We need to book in some dates now. Yeah, and it's legally binding because we've got two cameras on it.
Yeah.
So, Tom, on the... You know the week that you said you're on the weekend of the 10th? I think you said you were going...
Yeah, that's my wife's birthday.
You're going to have to cancel that.
What are you doing on the Friday before that? Are you busy?
Not necessarily.
So, the week of that week... before the 10th, so the week of the 4th, can you come to Scotland?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, all right. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to Scotland.
I probably do need to double check my diary, but I don't believe I've got anything burningly important in that week.
Yeah, you told me the only thing you can't do is the 10th, so I'm
you actually said to me, what weekends have you got free? And I said, I can do any other than the weekend of the 10th. Because
you said weekends?
I didn't say weekends.
You did say weekends.
I did not say weekends. We don't work weekends.
You're just saying lame.
So, Tom... You've got to work weekends.
What's wrong
with? For the unreliable challenge.
Oh, you're going to like this.
We are looking to head up into the Cairngorms.
Yeah.
Our first stop will be a ski slope. And my question to you, Tom, have you ever skied or snowboarded before?
I can ski.
I told you. I said he's got money. Of course he can ski.
I was hoping.
I knew it.
The funny thing is, I used to ski when I was poor.
Really? I love those. I used to ski when I was poor. What a line.
I was hoping that Tom couldn't ski or anything, because I could just imagine him trying to go down the slopes, just going, "Oh for fuck's sake! Oh fuck off!"
However,
yeah. I can't.
If we put Tom on a snowboard, that would be funny.
I did. Oh, where was I? I was in Val Thorens, and me and Meg had gone.
That's probably where your dad goes, isn't it, Val Thorens?
No, that's...
Is that budget?
Yeah,
Tesco Value?
He's usually flying Japan or something.
Went on Meg's Motorola work trip at the time.
Wow.
And Val Thorens, and I thought, right, I'm going to give snowboarding a go. Anyway, I spent a morning, and all I actually did was beat the living daylights out of my kneecaps, done my wrists in, and just caused myself an awful lot of pain.
Oh, that's funny. So we want to see that, don't we, Rory?
I just could not. I kept on digging the edge in and all that. I couldn't do it. But yeah, skiing. I haven't been skiing for quite a while, since kids, really.
So the only thing about the ski slopes is there's a road called, I think it's the Snow Road, that goes up to the Cairngorms.
Yeah.
And to get up there, you need to have a good four-wheel drive vehicle.
Yay!
So we've got...
Yay! Oh, shit.
I think we have a good one. Whether it's reliable enough to get there. Yeah.
Mine will be a good one.
Yeah.
Taylor's... You only have like 20 horsepower left in yours. So no, I'm not sure if you can get up the hill. Yeah, but can it even get up the hill?
Yeah, it's 4x4.
It hasn't got enough power to power the 4x4 system.
No, I think that's all been fixed now.
Okay. And then we have the idiot in the RX-8.
Yeah, but power. I'm going to redline it.
The only way you're going to get up there is by slowly spitting flames out the back of the exhaust and then melting the snow
behind you. I'm going to do is I'm going to bounce it off the limiter in every single gear. I'll be driving so quickly that I melt the snow beneath me. Who's phoning me? Oh, it's the wife.
Oh,
shit. Shall I pick up?
Okay. Is this what happens now? Anyone who phones?
Hello, Rhiann. You're live on the podcast. Please do not say fuck or bugger.
Oh, okay. Hello.
I'm here with Rory Taylor and Tom Lenthal.
Hi, Tom Lenthal.
Hi, Rhiann. How are you doing? All right?
I'm doing well, yeah. All good.
Rhiann, I'm not happy. Apparently, you were quite happy when Rory the Mouse got killed.
Oh, it was very, very satisfying.
No.
I slept very well that night.
Although
it was a bit gross when the mouse guts were all over Alex's jumper.
I didn't quite go into that much detail.
Did you wrestle it?
I wrestled it.
Did you jump on it and squash it?
I rode it like a horse, Tom, like a fucking horse. Are you phoning because I'm not home and I didn't tell you that I would be late?
Yeah. Your wife was just wondering if you were coming home for dinner.
I'm going to be late, wife.
Okay, well... enjoy your podcast, and I'll see you later.
Thank you. I do apologise, wife.
Okay. You're forgiven.
Oh, that was so easy.
Result.
That was so easy. I'm also bringing a little fella home tonight.
Okay, I'll just eat more food.
Okay, thanks, Riri.
Bye.
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 No, love you.
No, you are so in the doghouse. You are so in the doghouse.
Shit. Sorry, Rhiann. Apologies. She actually listens to the podcast.
Does she?
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame her, really. I mean, you asked me to be here at 3:30 to do this.
Sorry, what time did you arrive?
That's not the point.
No, that is the point.
No. Rory messaged me and said
also,
be late.
Also, I didn't ask you to be here. Rory asked you.
Oh, I see.
So blame work wife.
Okay.
Also, my bladder's very small. I need to go for a wee. I'm literally about to piss myself.
Are we carrying on while you're...
Yeah, just carry on.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll be back in a second.
Scotland.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to go up to Cairngorms. We're going to take these cars up there. And then Alex wants to take them to Knock Hill.
Oh, wicked.
Is that a racetrack?
Yeah. We're not. Well, I've never been there.
We're not 100% sure it's...
Scotland.
Is it?
Yes.
Hence why it's in the Scotland trip.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
I'm not sure if it's going to be open or what the state of it is. We need to do a bit of investigation.
Well, if it's not, we'll just use your Range Rover to smash through the fence.
Well,
but I did have this phobia. So, imagine us in the P38 with that suspension rolling around, going around a track.
No, the P38 is the worst car. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to tow the Mazda up the hill with the Range Rover and then use the extensive... blow the tips off of the Mazda when we get to Knock Hill. There you go.
Tom, we are going to be going around the track if it's opening the
P38. No, that's fine. Yeah, you crack on, Tom.
No, no, we, Tom.
No.
Tom, I saw the video because Tom in the Nürburgring trip, you were a bit of a nervous passenger, weren't you, Tom?
I'm terrible, honestly. I don't know. Well, I do know why, because I'm scared.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Imagine being driven by an even shitter driver in a vehicle that's a lot less capable.
Yes. I mean, to be fair to Taylor, you didn't give yourself as much credit as you were due. You do know where you're going roughly around the Nürburgring. And you were going faster than I was comfortable through certain blind corners and over crests of hills and things of that nature. Yeah?
But.
Yeah. No, that's good. But going round Knock Hill in a car that is fundamentally knackered, right, with zero suspension and handling ability.
And this is, if we make it up there, so what people don't know, P38, gearbox is fucked.
I was just about to say, I would just like to reverse your conversation slightly back to where you said, tow Alex up the hill.
What?
I mean...
I don't need to be towed up the hill.
You won't need to be towed up.
I went out in that P38 recently, and I would be surprised if it makes it out of Reading.
But that is why we have a cunning plan.
Oh, yeah. We've got a backup plan. Yeah, it's easy.
It's a really good plan. Right. We have a whole nother gearbox, and we have to take it in the boot of the car.
We're going to ratchet strap it in the boot. And, Tom, you've already done some legwork, haven't you?
Yeah. I've been speaking to a couple of my mates.
Have you?
Yeah. So I've mapped out...
I love this.
Friends that I have.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got to... Well, I personally don't think we're going to get out of Hampshire. Berkshire, rather. But yeah, I've got mates who own garages that I know from Jag racing who are sort of like dotted up towards the Scotland area.
this is brilliant.
And I've already given them heads up, so there's a very, very good chance.
Oh, fantastic.
I might need to change a Range Rover gearbox.
Yeah, that's good.
And I didn't realise those Range Rover gearboxes are massive.
It's huge.
Very
like heavy.
Massive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I fundamentally objected to this idea when Alex suggested it, and I said, I don't mind changing the gearbox. I said, but you can lift it into place. And he goes, yeah, no problem. I'll lift it. Yeah, giving it all
I didn't,
up.
I didn't say it like that.
He sent a message back saying, yeah, no problem. All right then. Yeah, no worries. I'll do it.
There you go. Is that better? Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
You know, but now you've seen the gearbox.
It's quite big.
It's very big.
Yeah.
Because it includes, does it include like the transfer box?
Yeah, it's got a transfer box, yeah.
And then like, yeah.
And the handbrake drum and everything.
Yeah. It's massive.
Yeah. It's huge.
You know when you talk about Knock Hill
and
the driving round?
Yeah.
Did you mention to Tom that you'd be the one driving?
Yes, Tom.
No,
that's
I worked that out.
I did work that out. Yeah.
I don't think Tom was saying that he wanted to be in the car when I'm doing that.
No. I don't.
Yeah, well, tough shit.
Yeah. Can I put a 4-point harness in?
No.
We can ratchet strap you in place.
Yeah, that'll do.
So
we'll ratchet strap you to the gearbox that's in the boot.
can we take the gearbox out before
the gearbox is staying in.
But so that's going to be good. I'm excited.
Yeah, we've got a few other things planned, but hopefully we can get that sorted because we've been really looking forward to doing
this trip. Yeah. And people have been asking now, where's part 3 or 4 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Also, before we continue, for people who are watching the podcast with your eye holes and not your ear holes, you will see behind me is a lovely looking E32 735i manual, and it looks really, really, really nice because Robin and Brian, his name is actually Ryan, but we call him Brian, from Viking Detail.
Says it on the number plate
Shit, yeah. It's my rigor mortis, I can't turn around. they've worked like their hardest for 2 days, haven't they?
Yeah.
Making it look like a shitter to an absolute beautiful show car. And I'm very, very excited. We're going to take that car to Poland because the Comets lit up, didn't they? And that I bought 3 BMWs for £7,000 episode.
So, yeah, we are going to Poland.
We are going to Poland. Yeah, this is confirmation that we're going to Poland.
Yeah.
Tom was also very excited and he said, I would like to go to Poland.
No, I did not.
However, there was something that you did show an interest in and we haven't spoken about this. So our high mileage heroes trip to Norway.
Yeah.
So as a reminder, we've got Miles a High Mileage Hero, 465,000 miles. I will be driving that. Mm. We've got the E46 330D saloon manual, 496,000 miles, which Taylor is going to drive. And you're going to drive, John, the extremely high mileage Volvo S80 with 720,000 miles. And then Tom piped up and he was like, oh, yeah. I couldn't quite decipher what that meant. But I think it meant he wanted to come along. So I set you the challenge, Tom, of finding, and it has to be a Jaguar Land Rover product with a minimum of 300,000 miles.
and I have
for 500 quid
at present failed.
Have you?
Oh, I can't, Tom.
So
have you actually tried?
No, I said to you that I really wanted to go to Norway because I wanted to go to an ice track, which is what you were considering doing.
Yeah.
So that really appeals to me because I've never been on an ice track. So I said I'd love to come with you. And then I wasn't expecting you to turn around to me and say that I needed to purchase a vehicle.
Yeah.
So anyway, you then, as you rightly said, JLR product, 300K.
Yep.
Plus for 500 quid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can find loads of JLR products in the 200 to 250 mark.
Yeah.
No sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but typical Jaguar Land Rover owners, they still want too much. They still want a grand for them. Don't know why. You know, so anyway, but that's not what I've written about. I cannot find anything that's done 300K.
What does that say?
Yeah.
It says to you that Jaguar Land Rover owners generally move on.
I thought you was just about to say they clock their cars.
Well, no, I did actually think I could actually just, you know, wind the clock on, potentially.
Wind the clock on, yeah.
You know,
that's the service you get at Tom Lenz.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, there are certain people out there that can do mileage correction services.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then I thought, no, some clever bod will just look up on MOT history and tell me that I've cheated. So
that will be us. We will car vertical the car.
All money hitting 100,000 miles in 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been very busy years. So then I turned my attention to, I thought, well, what's the closest thing I can find to a JLR product that I can easily find with that kind of mileage on it? So that was when I turned my attention to Ford Mondeos.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, if I buy one of an X-Type era, then I was going to rebadge it and put the grill on it and da-da-da-da-da and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. And then I thought, oh, that's kind of cheating as well, isn't it, really? So anyway, I've even spoken to all of my mates that run Jaguar Land Rover Breakers. You know, I know a few of those guys. And they do not even have a vehicle of that mileage.
What do they say to you when you ask for a 300,000-mile Jaguar Land Rover product?
That could barely do 100, mate.
Well, they normally turn around to me and go, what the fuck have you got yourself involved in? You know, which was my mate Andy's exact words. He's, why? Just why would you want that? I was going, darn. So, but they had actually, my mate Andy runs a company called Auto Reserve, brilliant for secondhand Jag parts, just want to get him. He turned around at me, he goes, oh, do you know what, we'll just scrap one.
No!
I was like, no, and he goes, my brother was running around in it, and it was an X-Type or, an S, no, it was an S-Type, yeah. I think he said it was. And
was it a V6 petrol?
Yeah, it's a V6 petrol. It wouldn't have been a 2.7 diesel because that engine doesn't do 300,000 miles unless you change the oil every, you know, unless somebody actually probably looks after it. But
yeah.
So I have. So anyway, they had one on their fleet, which they was using as a runner, but that's now gone. I've got a friend who's got a 350,000 mile disco, which is it's a lovely car. It's a Triggers Brougham of our workshop.
Yeah.
I'd, you know, and he loves it the bits. I'd, you know, we've put engines in it and gearboxes. Yeah. And, you know, it's had everything. You know, so, but he would never sell that in a million years, and it would
especially
be
not for 500 quid.
Especially not for 500 quid. Yeah. So, if anyone out there has got a JLR product with over 300,000 miles,
yes, please,
and less than 500 quid, then I'm your man.
Yeah.
I'd really like an old school one. I'd like a really, you know, even if it's like considered the most unreliable Jag, like an XJ40 or even a, I don't know, like a V12 Series 3 XJ or something like that. Something that's really, really, you know, bad when it's not had money spent on it for the last 10 years or something like that. You know,
can I just put a little caveat out there? Norway's quite far.
Yeah.
And if you want to be driving in a fucking V12,
well, you're paying
it's
for the
cost
petrol,
a
mate.
Lot of money in petrol, isn't it?
You said you're going to pay for the petrol.
I said I pay for the diesel. I don't expect you to get if it's a petrol, just cancel it.
V12 is fine. You have my approval.
You are managing director. Aren't you?
So I'm on Auto Trader right now.
Yeah.
And the closest
I can see that.
Have you found one, Rory?
No, I haven't found one, but I found one that's close. So there's a Jaguar XK8. It has one single photo, and it's just of the interior.
Brilliant.
The mileage on it
is
apparently 278,854.
How much is he asking for it?
And he wants $5,000.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Is the interior that special?
And then the only other one, which is it's well off, is this lovely Jaguar XJ. Which,
right, turn it round so we can see.
It's had a very nice paint job.
Oh, that is nice.
So it's been painted in a Union Jack.
Is that the one out of Austin Powers?
Is it a 300 or a 308? I can't see from here. How old is it?
It's a 1996.
That's a it's a 300.
It's a 3.2 sovereign.
Yeah.
Oh.
XJ.
What's the mileage?
So the mileage on this is 210,000.
Oh, yeah, these are rookie numbers.
And it's also a Cat N.
That's fine though.
How much does he want for it?
$3,000.
Bloody wow. Do you reckon you can get that for £500 and do 90,000 miles in about a month?
Pushing
challenge accepted.
But I've genuinely, I've done all the usual places. Yeah. I don't normally do. I know you guys love Marketplace, but I don't normally do it. But I've scoured Marketplace and I can't.
You went into the basement of Marketplace.
Yeah, I went into the basement of Marketplace.
What do you think of Marketplace now? It's quite fun.
Oh,
isn't it?
I quite like it.
Actually, there you go.
Because I do use Marketplace now to flog the odd thing because I'm banned from eBay.
Oh, really? What? Actually banned?
Yeah,
eBay
banned you? I'm a banned seller from eBay.
Why? What do you do?
I don't know.
Oh.
They won't tell me.
Oh. Maybe you were making too much money.
I've got no idea. And I've rung and I've rung and I've rung and I've given up now. And I'm just actually, do you know what? I'm not bothered anymore.
Fair.
Yeah. So I don't know what I've done. I'd love to know.
Yeah.
I was begging the person down the end of the phone when you ring up the helpline or whatever, going, oh, please just tell me why.
Why are you putting my voice on again?
Yeah. So, I have been using Marketplace.
Yeah.
Marketplace, because I think it's a lovely, easy thing to do.
Yeah.
You do get some.
There are a lot of scams.
Yeah. Why do people keep on always sending me messages saying, is it still available? It's still advertised.
Yes.
You get
why?
Get that.
No, not being funny. Once you've sold something, you take the advert down.
A lot
of
people just don't know, which is really annoying, which is why you get a lot of people saying, is it still available?
Right.
And also the autofill or the auto question when you type on message is it still available, I think.
Right.
So that's why it literally comes up with, is it still available? You just need to press enter.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's why. But yeah, it's a bit of a minefield. Are you still looking for cars?
So I'm on Autotrader. I'm trying to find what is the highest mileage car listed on Autotrader. And I found it.
Is it real, though? Because some of the mileage is sometimes a bit skewed. Is it not a London taxi? Because they used to be when you sorted by mileage and it went to the last page. What
this,
we got
this
here?
This cannot be genuine.
Yeah, okay, what we got?
It is a Ford Fiesta 2009. So this can't be real.
What's it saying?
Apparently, it's got 1.2 million miles.
Oh, yeah, so I got tagged in that. And
if that's
a
real,
typo, it's 120,000 miles.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to say, if that's real, I'm buying it.
Oh, my God.
So now this one might be more believable. It is a Mercedes C-Class 1.8 with 1,005,000 miles.
No.
I'm on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
I have found...
Yeah.
A 2008 Range Rover L322.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3.6 TDV8.
Yeah.
It's going to need turbos.
Right. Excellent runner.
Where we're going, you don't need turbos.
Excellent runner.
Yeah.
11 months MOT. High mileage, but always been serviced. I'm a second owner from new.
Yep.
Comfy car to drive. Needs a Bluetooth wire replacement, blah, blah, blah. Still in daily use. Has cruise control, heated seats, front and rear.
Get to the good bit, Taylor.
325,000 miles.
How much that?
£1,500. You could batten down to £500, I reckon.
All right, message him.
Right, yeah.
Message him and then see what we can do.
That's a lovely car.
That is a lovely car.
That is a lovely car.
325,000 miles.
Taylor, if you can get that on the podcast.
Okay.
Then I don't know what. What are you going to do, Tom?
Oh, I'll buy it, regardless.
Okay, all right.
We'll have it.
We will have it, yeah. You've messaged him.
Yeah.
Have you done the, is it still available?
No, I'm putting, hi, do you still have this?
Yes, but he could just say, could I have your number? I need to speak to you immediately.
Okay.
Well, don't sound too desperate. But we want to buy that car on the podcast. What would you go up to for that? What's it worth in bits?
Look, generally speaking, L322s, because a lot of them are coming towards the end of their lives, when I ring up the Breaker Boys, they're not as interested in them as we had this with.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Do you remember
the
04 one?
Yeah.
But that's got the straight six engine in it, so they're not so desirable. So we're not getting, you know, a lot of the time they're actually saying, we don't need L322s at the moment.
Yeah, fair.
So it's a bit of a tricky one from that point of view, but I'm going to say... You'd happily pay £750 a grand for it, wouldn't you?
I think so. Yeah. If we can get that for a grand, I think we should get it for a grand. Because I really want you to come on the trip. Mainly because we need...
And it's a diesel. And it's if I get a V12 Jag, it's going to cost you more.
Indeed, indeed. And also, that means, Rory, that we've got two mechanics. It does. Nothing can go wrong. Yeah. Well, everything will go wrong.
Yeah.
But we're all right, because they'll fix it. Should we move on to 20 questions?
Yeah. But
I
have found the highest mileage thing listed on Auto
Trader. Oh, okay, yeah.
And it is a Mercedes-Benz Vito van.
Yeah.
2016.
Yeah.
So it's been an executive transport vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's, 6 years old.
And it's got 504,000 miles on it.
Wow.
What does that work out a year?
About 90,000 miles a year, or 85,000 miles a year.
That is good going.
That is
isn't
good
it?
Going, yeah. There that seat go. Is probably through the floor.
Mm. And they still want £11,400 for it.
We'll have a lot of money.
Oh, shit, no, we won't.
Wow. That's a lot.
Right, let's move the podcast on now to 20 questions. You've thought of a probably very obscure British sports car or something that no one's ever heard of because you're about 100,000 million years old.
Yep.
You are more of a fossil than me. And that is saying something.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, should we get started with 20 questions?
Shall I do my usual?
Oh, go on then, go on.
Is it European?
No.
Is it American?
No.
Oh, shit.
Is it a Jaguar Land Rover product?
What are you on
no.
about?
Did you not, have you not listened to this?
Am I supposed to be counting these?
Sorry.
Who's keeping count?
I was actually sending a message to the person with the Range Rover as you said it, so you will have to repeat it. Sorry.
Okay. What is it European? Ones? No. Is it American? No.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Is it Japanese?
Yes.
Oh. So that's three.
Is it Honda?
No.
Is it a Toyota?
So this is where it gets sketchy.
Oh, we've got him now.
No, because I genuinely can't remember, because they all have different names, don't they? If they're like European or, for different markets.
We're conferring, Tom. Would that mean it's a Lexus then?
I can't remember, yeah.
Tom, you can't pick a car that you can't remember.
You can't use your rage and say, sorry, I forgot.
He's forgot what car he's picked up.
No.
It's an X-Type.
You know, like a Vauxhall can be, what are they called?
An Opel.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. And I genuinely can't remember.
All right.
So you're going to have to be very specific about manufacturer.
Do you want to take your phone?
Right. Oh shit, what's that?
I've got a phone number.
Go, find him up.
I've got a phone number.
Immediately.
Oh, Tom.
Where is he based?
I think we were about to buy it right.
Sorry, we're at five. If we buy a car on the pod, because I bought Miles a high mileage.
You dialed an incorrect number.
What?
Oh, shit. But Tom, do you want to have a quick look at your phone?
Yeah, can I have a quick look and I'll...
Go and have a cuffer. I promise I won't look
at it. I've
got to
get out of flight mode, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Oh my God. He hasn't been able to work out how to get into it.
He thinks he's in helicopter mode or something, doesn't he?
Hold on.
Oh, so Taylor, has he sent you the wrong number then?
Mm-hmm. Is he mugging you off? What's going on? Talk us through it, Taylor. Why have you got a smile on your face?
I've just said, is that correct? It doesn't seem to work.
Okay.
I think he's missed out a number or something.
Okay. Probably. Well, how many numbers is it? Is it
one?
It needs
two,
to be 11.
Three,
I like how Tom's got four, off the couch because he doesn't
six,
trust us
seven,
not to look.
Eight, nine, 10, 11.
Okay. Has he seen it?
Yeah. He's seen it.
Oh. Also, is Tom buying it or am I buying it?
You're all buying it.
Who's paying for it?
One of us will buy it just to get it.
Tom could make good money.
No, Taylor will do his 90-day credit.
Shall I see where it is?
Oh yeah.
It's in Norway.
It's not. It's in. It's just outside of Swansea in Wales.
Oh,
well, that's all right.
It's not terrible.
It's not too bad. It's like two, three.
It is very nice.
All right, okay. Well, you need to sit back down and put your mic on.
Here we go. Right, Tom's figured it out now.
Oh, yeah, it's like another British company.
Well, you need to put that and then...
Sorry, it's just... It's like another British company that I know. I understand it now. Understand.
What does that mean?
Right, how many questions are we on?
We're on one. No, we're on five questions. And what was it? It's not a Honda, not a Toyota.
No,
although you were questioning whether it was
a
Toyota.
Is it a Toyota?
No.
Oh...
I've got a phone number.
Okay. Sorry, we're still at five. Sorry.
This is such a all over the place
this
podcast.
I do
apologize.
Welcome to the ADHD podcast. Oh shit.
Oh, what is going on? Wait.
Oh. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
He's probably suddenly got a flurry of calls on it and he's talking to someone else.
Yeah. All right, so it's not a Toyota.
No, it's not a Toyota, no. It's not a Toyota.
Okay, okay. Right. So
it's going to be, is it a, like, what's an old, Japanese brand that is not very common? Like something, you know, like a...
Is it like a Datsun? Is that what we're thinking? Like Datsun, yeah, Nissan? Yeah. So we've got Datsun, Nissan.
Is it a Datsun?
Yes.
Yes!
Oh. I can't believe you got this. Come is on.
Is it a Datsun 240Z?
No.
Okay, sorry. We're at 7 now.
The only problem is I don't know many Datsuns.
Yeah,
that aren't the famous Datsun. That.
Is it a Datsun Sunny?
No.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Oh, didn't they have like a GT or something?
Don't look at me. I'm not old.
Taylor, did they have something called a Datsun GT? Datsun.
I'm just making sure he's not looking up Datsuns.
No, I'm Range Rover.
You're a Range Rover. He's pursuing the Range Rover.
Right, what Datsuns have
Datsun,
we got?
So we had the Sunny, the 240Z, and that was it.
Oh, what about... There's a thing called a Bluebird as well?
But no, that was a Nissan. Was a Nissan.
Yeah, but did they not have the Datsun version of that?
Mm.
Well, I mean, Tom's already said no, so... So we've got one in the bag there, boys. What Datsuns are there? Right, you've got to think like old, like prehistoric.
What? Like Tom, like pre-war?
Yeah, pre-electricity, pre-dinosaur.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
The Datsun T-Rex.
Was that a question?
No. Are we going to actually, because do any of us know any more Datsuns?
240Z.
Are we going to have to play Hangman?
All right. I've
Does
got
it have
question.
An A?
I actually thought I was doing something right. Not, you know, I could have gone British, but yeah. I didn't.
But that would have been very predictable.
I didn't want to be predictable.
Is it a sports coupe?
No.
Is it a saloon?
A saloon is a four-door without a hatchback. Just for reference.
Sorry. It's like a Jaguar XJ.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Tom, or did it come in different models then?
It came in different models.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, so it did come in that model. So that's kind of, is that a yes? It is a yes, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
But not be necessarily.
Okay, this doesn't help. I think we're on question 10.
Oh. Is it a Datsun Cherry?
No.
Oh. Is it a car of the 80s?
I thought of one.
Have you?
Yes, I think it was manufactured. It was manufactured in the 80s, yes.
Okay.
Is it a Datsun 120Y?
You might need to elaborate on that a little bit more, Taylor.
Oh!
Is it a Datsun 120Y
B
sports coupe saloon?
A saloon.
No. Okay. No.
Is it a Datsun 120Y pickup?
Nope.
Oh shit.
Is it a Datsun 120Y turbo?
No. And how many questions are we on now, Rory? Gone.
We're on one.
I think four.
I think we're on 14 or 15 now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what a Datsun 120Y is, do you?
No. Okay. Is it a Datsun 120Y fast
back?
No.
Is it a fucking 120Y, man?
Yes.
Yeah. But I need to look this up.
No.
I don't even know what it is, but we've got it, right?
You have got it. It is a Datsun 120Y.
Well, there we go. We've got it. Yeah.
I did genuinely used to. I owned one.
So what is the full name then that you're looking
for? I had a Datsun 120Y panel van.
Oh, how are we going to guess?
What are we not going to say panel
van? That's what they called them.
Oh, that is shit.
So they did like an estate, yeah. But then they did it with a panel on it in a van. And I owned one when I lived in Australia and I drove up the...
You lived in Australia?
Yeah.
When did you live in Australia?
Ooh, 1994.
Really?
Yeah,
that was the year I was born. Yeah. You are so old.
Yeah, I went to, a lot of my mates were living out there. It was back in the day. Probably people do it now. Like you lot bugger off to Vietnam and all that. In my day, when you, everyone decided they wanted to go to Australia and we used to get work visas and live out there for a year or so.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, so as soon as I finished my apprenticeship and I got on my qualification day, I thought, right, that's it, I'm off.
Yeah.
And I flew out to Sydney and, yeah, I stayed there for a bit and went up the coast and did all that.
Did you have a wild couple of years?
I did about 9-10 months and I had to come back because my sister was getting married. So I came back for the wedding. Mm, and then I was going to go back out because my governor offered me a job. And I thought, right. And then my old boss picked me up from the airport. And I ended up going back to work for him.
Really?
Yeah.
So the pull to Australia wasn't that strong?
Oh, I quite enjoyed it. It was good. I got it out of my system. And
was this pre-Meg?
Pre-Meg. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Pre-Meg. Yeah.
So, when did you meet Meg?
The end of 1994.
Oh, okay.
So after I got back from Australia, not long after that. Very nice. Yeah, I've been with Meg. This will be our 30th year.
Fair play.
Long time.
My 30th year.
Really? Mm. So you were born in 94?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
You haven't aged well, have you?
I've aged fantastically.
But anyway, a Datsun 120Y is an amazing vehicle.
I got
vehicle.
That.
You did. Well done. Fair play.
Well done, Taylor.
I would never have got that.
So, yeah, Taylor.
What?
What's the latest?
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting.
Apparently, he said advertising for someone else. Oh, I can't get hold of him yet. I'll try to get him one more time.
There you go. But he's given you his number, his own number.
Voicemail service.
No. No, this is the guy that owns the car. He said, try and leave him a message. He should get back to you.
We don't want a message. We want a phone call immediately because we need to buy. How long would it be going for, Roy?
One twenty.
120 we'd be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloody hell. That's not bad.
Does it say on the advert where the vehicle is, Roy?
Yeah, it's just Swansea, outside the car. Yeah. Swansea.
Oh, that's not too bad. Lip up the M4.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Hop, skip and jump.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's a very nice looking car. Mm. It's blue in colour.
Yeah. Mm. I want to know more Tom stories. Mm.
The last time I bought a car in Wales, I was driving it back and I had a monstrous vibration through the engine because part of the metal fan flew off and went, luckily it went out through the floor and the whole car just fired. I mean, I thought the engine had blown up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I've not had a lot of luck with going to pick cars up from Wales.
Okay.
But I did then. I worked out you had to keep it under 2,500 RPM and then it didn't completely shake the whole vehicle to bits and then I just cruised it the rest of the way back to the unit and I was like, sweet.
What car was it?
It was Emma.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. Talk to us about Emma.
So Emma is...
Go as far into the story as you feel comfortable.
Okay. So Emma is a car, but is also a friend of mine a really, really long-term, close friend of mine that I've known since I was at school. And unfortunately, she got diagnosed with cancer in, it must have been about the end of August, beginning of September time, something like that. Mm. And she unfortunately had a very, very rapid decline. It wasn't great. And she passed away. And so, you know, it's been a bit of tough for me towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very, very difficult. So, we then decided that we had this XJ that I bought, which the fan broke on.
Yeah.
And we were going to do this resto mod, which I've done, and we did some videos on it and stuff. And hopefully at some point you're going to take it for a drive. And
Before you continue, where can people see those videos?
You can see those videos on my YouTube channel.
Which is... Tom?
Tom, you are the second guest in a row who doesn't know the name of their own channel. Yeah. We had Ben Collins sitting exactly where you're sitting, and we were going, so Ben, what is the name of your podcast? And he was like,
for the record, it is Some Say. Okay, even I know it. But what is it? It's Tom Lentfell's
workshop.
It is
Tom Lentfell's workshop, I remember now. So, we bought this XJ coupe and we wanted to do a resto mod thing and we thought we'd do the videos on it and stuff. And then it just, when we got towards the end of it, and this is when the stuff was going on with my friend Emma, and we, anyway, the her favourite colour was red, and she was a really adventurous, outgoing person, and she used to do lots of diving, and she was going on like walks, and she would like walk, she'd go and walk 30 or 40 miles and, you know, do all these things for charity and stuff like that. And just I cannot tell you how much of a party animal she was. As you saw that, do you remember the video of my birthday party?
I do, yes.
When we turned the local curry house on my 50th birthday into a disco.
Yeah.
The girls, my missus and Emma and Claire and Fee and Lou and my friends, we basically, you know, turned it into a disco, and they're standing up on the chairs, dancing in there, and we had a really great night. And you know, I'll never forget that night now. It's more poignant that night now more than ever. So anyway, we did this resto mod thing, and that was just something that we were doing as a company, and it was just for a bit of something I wanted to do, a bit of publicity. So anyway, we built this supercharged car, and I think it's quite cool. I quite like it. So then with what happened, we decided that we were going to always going to sell the car. We decided to dedicate the car to my friend Emma. And then at the end of the year, at the NEC Classic Car Show, with Iconic Auctions, I've had a word with one of the consignment guys. We're going to auction it off and give all the profits to charity.
That's amazing, yep.
So, which is going to be the RNLI, because Emma was big into diving and lots of stuff in the water. So we thought, and we're going to try and raise enough money. And we're looking into this at the moment. We're going to try and raise enough money so that they apparently they name a boat after you.
Oh, wicked.
So like a lifeboat. So we want to try and get a lifeboat named after us. So that's our target. Lovely. So I don't actually know how much we've got to raise to do that at the moment, but that's what we're going for. And we're going to take the car around this summer. Going to take it to Shed Fest and amazing, all that sort of stuff, so people can see it and hopefully enjoy it. And we're gonna start. My friend Emma's sister Claire, she's looking into. She's going to start an Instagram page, and we're gonna I don't know, call it the Adventures of Emma or something like that. So everywhere that we go with the car and take it, then we can put it up on Insta. And you know, who knows what'll happen? We'll wait and see what happens. But makes me feel good.
Yep.
And perhaps the fan pinging off and nearly dumping me on the side of the motorway, probably the good start to a journey like that.
Absolutely.
So it should be quite cool, and so I'm really, I'm looking forward to raising a bit of money for charity and all that sort of stuff.
And we've seen that car in the flesh, and it is stunning.
It is amazing.
It is so cool.
And the exhaust manifold as well.
Lovely. I did get a lot of budget complaints from Meg when I was building that. A lot of budget complaints.
Needs bust though sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we will help where we can. We'll do a video on it at some point as well. You'll see it at Shedfest. So please get your tickets, and then you can see Emma, the very stunning Jaguar, in the flesh. And then if you want to dig deep and then buy it at the end of the year, then that would be very much appreciated as well. But whoever that car goes to will be very, very happy. Happy days. Where should we go to now? Because this this isn't scripted at all.
This is probably the it.
Oh shit, this is the end.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say,
Oh shit. Any more updates, Taylor, from the fella with the Range Rover?
Nothing yet.
Oh, we'll have wait till next podcast. Yeah.
I will keep you updated as we go along.
Fantastic.
I would be very happy to have an L322 to go to. That would work for me.
That would work for you, yeah. And I would love you to come along. It would be really, really good fun. Because we did have a lot of fun at the Nürburgring, didn't we?
It was a bit of a crack, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crack. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up because we've been chatting for nearly an hour and a half.
I'll try them one more time.
Okay.
Before the end of the podcast.
Hold the line. We've got another 5 minutes, maybe.
This is the Vodafone voicemail.
Here we go.
Oh, shit!
What a tease. And on that note, I think we're going to call it there. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can do so by emailing
podcast@autolxcars.com.
You are so slick.
That was good.
You are so slick. And Tom, if people want to follow you online, where can they find you?
He's forgotten.
We've got a Facebook page.
You've got an Insta page as well, Tom.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah,
yeah, no, you do.
I think we have. Well, I don't do it. You know, I've got a man.
You do have a man. Everyone needs a man.
I have a man that does all that sort of stuff. Because I'm, old, as you like to tell me.
Yeah, fucking old, I say.
Yeah, fucking old. Yeah, pre-war. Exactly,
Tom, sorry, just before you go, Big Pete needs some glow plugs do.
Yeah, that was, I told you.
Oh, yeah. So
now, I would just start to state for the record that they ring me up the other week and say, oh, Big Pete won't start. Looks like glow plugs. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he says, well, it doesn't matter. We've known about it since we bought it. And I'm like, the glow plugs are like the hardest thing to go wrong. They break in the cylinder heads. They do this.
Do you have to take the body off the chassis to do the glow plugs?
No, not if they don't break.
Oh, okay.
But if they do break?
I couldn't believe it.
What happens if they do break, Tom?
If they do break, what we do is we get loads of fire lighters and put them in the air filter box and light them until enough heat goes into the engine for it to start.
But how do we?
That's generally, I used to get. Have you not never heard that before?
No,
that's what farmers used to do.
Oh wow!
Yeah, when they get their diesel tractors started in the winter, they didn't want to go, so they'd light a fire in the air filter.
Wow!
Yeah, they'd light a fire in the air filter when they get some hot air down the.
But fire wasn't invented that long ago.
Tom, what do we do if the glow plugs snap?
Panic.
Oh, no, it sounds like a Tom problem, though.
Does that sound like
sounds like a Tom.
Although Tom doesn't get his hands dirty anymore, does he? No.
Oh, I don't know about
He's
that.
He's a businessman. He's always there. You know what? You know Tom's in when you like walk into the garage and you can hear upstairs. Because you are so like ham-fisted. You're like poking and pointing.
You came into my office the other day and started going, have you seen the way he types? You know, like I'm a mechanic that ended up running a business by default. You know, what were you expecting?
You type like you're typing on a typewriter, Tom, where you're still trying to press each key down. Like,
I can't help it. I just,
And don't try and pull the wool over eyes. Everyone knows that Meg runs a business.
Yeah, you know, Meg can type.
I didn't mean that. I mean, she runs your business and she runs your life. Oh, she Jesus Christ. Anyway, also regarding your business, Tom Lenthal Limited.
Yeah.
You obviously look after Jaguars and Land Rovers and all that, but there is something that you are getting more and more into, which is the restoration, isn't it?
I don't know about more and more into. I don't know that.
I think he's been well into it.
But your bread and butter is like doing that.
Okay, so we've got two sides of the business. Yeah. We've got bread and butter, which is general servicing and stuff like that. But I trained in classic restoration, not in modern cars. Mm. And then when I was about 8 years in, I went to the main dealer and did, so I learned both, which is unusual.
Yeah.
And it's very unusual to come to any workshop and see someone doing like literally brand new cars and 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s stuff. So. Yeah. So we are unusual in that, but the classic side of the business now is just, it's epic.
Yeah.
Would you say the classics is now bigger than the actual?
No, it's throughput, actual vehicles on site. Obviously the modern stuff is a lot more, but I'm in terms of mechanics spending time, workshop hours on cars, it probably is about 50-50 now, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
And that's only going to get bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, we just need more space. We just need, I'd like to, just go with the flow and expand as we can. You know, people keep on saying to me, they keep walking in going, Tom, you need a bigger car park. I said, no, I don't. I need a bigger workshop.
You do,
just too many cars and we need to, more quality mechanics and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, all for the future.
So yeah, if you've got a modern Jaguar Land product that's broken, which it will be, go to Tom. And if you want a full restoration, go to Tom as well. Although you did turn down my Daimler, which was very disappointing.
I know.
You said it was a bit too far gone, didn't you?
Because you had no money.
That's true. That is true.
I've always wanted to know this. Tom, have you got any customers come from us?
Yeah, no, we did have this. Yeah, Alex did actually ask us earlier. Yeah. I didn't really answer it. And the answer to that is yes.
Oh, yes. We've done a thing, Roy.
I have to say, I've had more customers come via views of Mr. Metcalf's channel.
He's actually a serious journalist.
He's a proper journalist, isn't he?
He's good.
I also get a lot of people coming in and saying, my 23-year-old son told me I needed to come and see you because there's that kind of thing happening, which I find quite funny.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that people are actually slowly starting to trickle in and make a little bit of sense as well.
Yeah, yeah. But predominantly, as we said earlier, it's just a laugh.
You just want to have a laugh.
Just want to have a laugh.
So get in contact with Tom if you need any work doing to your cars or restorations. because the stuff that we've seen is like A1 quality. And yeah, I mean, you're going to do a full restoration on Big Pete soon, aren't you?
I think Big Pete's pretty much
already. You've already done a full restoration on Big Pete. Yeah,
it's a pretty substantial mechanical overhaul. I'm just waiting for a real major unit to go.
You say that, but I got a phone call earlier about Big Pete. He's currently at my body shop with Ty at Waltham Abbey Crash Repair Centre. And he rung me up this morning. He said, slight problem.
Oh, shit.
He said, you know you're due to come and collect this Land Rover today? I was like, yeah. He's like, I can't get it to start. Oh. So he pushed it across the road and it's just sat there all day.
Pushed it across the road?
Yeah.
By himself?
Well, no, he's...
Oh, did he get it, man?
Yeah.
Glow plugs?
Yes.
Glow plugs, Taylor.
Yeah. I said to him, try some brake cleaner. There's some in the door pocket. And he went, I still can't get it started. So,
Tom, would you mind collecting it tomorrow? No. Just popping it up? You wouldn't mind. Fantastic.
I've got a trailer, have I?
You can borrow mine.
Someone smashed his back door. Yeah.
There we go. And on that rather sexual, happy note, we're going to call it there. Massive thank you to Tom for coming on the podcast. Right. It's also been really, really good fun, like getting to know you for the last couple of years or year and a half. Good. And spending time with you and messing around on YouTube and all the rest of it. Long may it continue. So, yeah, massive props to Tom and his team. From us, any more to say, Rory?
No, that's it.
All right, fantastic. The only thing that's left to say is thank you very much for listening to us. Thank you for the very positive reviews. We're still doing well. And whatever you're doing, do it to the best of your ability. From us, have a great remainder of the week. We will see you and hear you and listen to you with your ear holes and everything next week.
They will hear us.
Yeah, you got the wrong way around.
No, but I actually watched him. I'm like a bit of a peeping Tom.
Okay.
All right. Oh, shit. I'm in the shit now. Yeah. Anyway, and Rianne's very upset. Goodbye.
Bye.